I can remember so vividly in grade school an encounter that allowed me to experience a blessing like I'd never experienced before. It was in grade school at a VBS in California that for the first time I was introduced to what Jesus could do, how he could bless, how he could work, what he could do in my life. And I remember it so vividly because as the teacher was sharing, and I recall no names of teachers, I recall no location, I recall the name of the church, and I remember the subject matter at hand, and the subject matter at hand was Jesus. And what I want you to see today is this: as we think about our own lives, we all have the privilege of encountering blessings, things that come our way that speak to our hearts in vivid and powerful ways that we never forget. And it's interesting because when I think about it, it was 50 years or more ago when I sat in that class. And it's interesting because I heard the teacher say that there is one thing that would separate us from being able to experience everything that God intended, and that was sin. And it was one thing that would solve every sin that we would ever choose to do, and that was Jesus, who was a Savior. And I can remember thinking, that's simple math, but it has profound impact on any heart of any person who chooses to follow him. And so today, as we think about what it means to anticipate blessing our children and blessing those who are a part of our story and a part of our lives, all of us have the privilege and opportunity to bring blessings into other people's lives. We have the opportunity to be able to bring something to them that touches their heart, that motivates their spirit, that sustains them in the midst of difficulty and heartache, and allows them to see that God is always faithful. And today, as we encounter blessing, we're continuing this series In Search of Honor. And what I want you to see today is one of the great things we do in life is honor those that God has entrusted to us. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, let me give you just a real quick snapshot of background so you understand what's transpiring in this particular book. Paul writes this book from prison to a group of people who are being invaded by those who dishonor the name of Jesus. They dishonor his deity. They dishonor his capacity to transform lives. They dishonor his humanity, and they dishonor his sufficiency. And so as these people are invading the church and causing all kinds of havoc, Epaphras goes and makes the journey of over 1,000 miles to find Paul and say, Paul, you have to write a letter to tell the church at Colossae that they need to live a certain way. That's why when you look at chapter 1 and verse 18, you see he brings to a conclusion a thought when talking about the sufficiency of what Jesus can do, when he makes this statement that he would come to have first place in everything, in everything. And by the time you get to chapter 3, he has already set in motion by way of this letter an understanding of how to create a level of blessing that transforms any person who chooses to live that way. So look at it with me if you would, and notice what he says beginning in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has complained against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body to be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now look back at verse 1 of chapter 3 and notice two things I want you to see as we think about this message today. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So he says, keep seeking and set your mind. In other words, fix your thoughts on what it is that he wants to accomplish through you as you look up. And it's interesting what it makes clear. If you set your mind and you start seeking things on the earth, what do you get? You get nothing of benefit, nothing that helps you, nothing that moves you forward, everything that takes away what he wants to accomplish through you. But if you set your mind on things above and you start seeking those things, because there's two key words here, seeking and setting. You seek what it is that God has for you, and then you set in motion a desire to be experiencing all that God intends for you. Because what the letter to the Colossian church is simply this: Jesus has to be everything. Because if he's something, you will miss the blessing. He needs to be everything. And so ask yourself the question, what are the most important ways we bless our children? What is it that we bring into the lives of those who are a part of our story? What are the most important ways we bless our friends? What are the most important ways we bless our lives? Because what you're going to see today is it's interesting what Paul does as he speaks to the church. Because he brings God's love and God's peace and God's word and our identity all together into a beautiful mosaic that says, you know what, if you do this, then whatever you do in word or deed, you are going to experience what God has for you, whatever you do. And so we think about that and start, wait a minute, what can we do to encounter these blessings? What steps can we take? What are choices we can make that allow us to experience the blessings that God has for us? And there are very distinct choices that we make. Very distinct decisions that we make. And by the way, all of them are challenging, because what you see interlaced in verses 12 through 17 is some certain things that are challenging for us. For example, not easy to love everyone, not easy to forgive every person, not always easy to be kind to those that we encounter. All these different kind of things transpire. And yesterday I was out and about a little bit and I was in TJ Maxx. That's where I was. I was looking for a cheap wallet. I want to replace my wallet. And so when I walked out, this guy walked up to me. Sir, can I talk to you a moment? Uh-oh, it's going to cost me money. And so he begins to tell the story. He said, you know, if you look at me, I'm very clean shaven. And he had a goatee where he had five breaks in it. And so I thought, well, that is clean shaving. You had a lot of work to get that all up like that. And he said, you know, and he started telling the story. And obviously, it's interesting because I took out some money and gave it to him. And I was, the whole time I was thinking, you never know how when you bless somebody, how it might send a message to them. Which, by the way, this is the most unique thing about it all. I walked about five steps and he was gone. I looked everywhere. I looked around to see if he was somewhere else. And it's interesting what he said. After I gave him the money, he said, could I shake your hand and bless you? I thought, isn't it interesting that someone who just got blessed wanted to be a blessing? And what I want you to see today is this. As you think about where you are, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. What a profound and powerful thought. Whatever it is you do, whatever choice you make, whatever step you take, be wise in how you do it. Because the truth of the matter is, watch this, just when someone comes your way, it could be a very test to see that the blessing God given to you is there for you to bless someone else. And so today, as you think about that, you notice in chapter 3 there, that last verse, whatever you do. And it's interesting because he makes it clear, it's not just what you say, it is what you do that sets in motion blessings in the lives of those who are part of our story. So today, as you think about that, you begin to start asking yourself, well, how can I accomplish what it is that God intends through me? And it's interesting because here's what happened. When you start living with grace and love at work in you, when you start all of a sudden, you start letting those things work inside of who you are, and that grace starts working. And because what Paul's doing here is he's talking about grace and how grace works, and he's talking about love, and they become this magnetic force inside of us. Because watch this, anybody you find who has grace in their heart and who has love to be able to impact other people, they are the kind of folks who make a difference in who you are. So when grace and love get into us, they become this magnetic force that generates an energy that we could not generate on our own. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. When you look at what your grace is all about, it is God's favor in your life that you don't deserve, and his favor starts resting on you, and all of a sudden you get energized by it, and you start becoming more loving, and all of a sudden people think magnetically, they pull towards you because they give something to you and get something from you that money could never buy. It's this amazing picture of grace and love. And last week, I shared a principle that I wanted to use to remind you of, because it's a parental principle that I read a few weeks ago that stood out to me so vividly. And by the way, the same application can be made of our spiritual journey, all right? Parents, do not expect your children to prioritize what you marginalize, all right? So think about this. As God's children, be careful not to think that God is going to guide you by way of priority if you marginalize what he wants to do in you. You need to be wise and say, Lord, I want to see you work in my life in an amazing way. And so think about this, priority and marginalizing something, which means it shows you something. If Jesus isn't everything, then he's only something. And if our children only learn that he is something, then what happened? It's a marginal perspective of who he is. It's the very thing, by the way, that has flooded our nation with a generation of those who have great, great questions about who God is. In fact, it's sad that the largest growing group of religious people in our nation are those who are not religious, that have claimed no faith, no connection. And so what you and I need to do, we need to make sure we prioritize who God is, how he works, what he wants to do in each one of our lives. So here's the question you ask. How does honor come? How do blessings come our way? Because in this text, you're going to see four distinctive things, and I want to outline them for you, because what happens is when you start thinking about how can I honor, how can I prioritize, how can I extend a blessing to those that I love and care about, you learn it this way. First of all, you realize that God directs our hearts to be able to, in love, to impact others. He starts directing our hearts, and I'm going to come back to each one of these, but I want to kind of summarize them initially so you can kind of get a handle on it, because I want you to think about what happens with you when all of a sudden, in gratitude, peace begins to rule. Because he said, let the peace of God rule it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Watch this, because you're going to see it in a moment. Because what his peace gives you is not the peace the world has. Because he says the peace that comes in Christ. And I'll show you how distinctive and powerful that peace is in each one of our lives. The third thing I want you to see by way of summary is that all of a sudden, when we start centering our hearts in the richness of his word comes alive to us. And his word begins to speak to us. And it's interesting. Here's when you know it's rich inside of your soul. When you long to read it, not because you have to, but because you want to. When you long to hear him speak to you, not based in some expectation of someone else, but instead based in knowing that God's going to speak to you in such a vivid and powerful way. Imagine how rich it is when God's word grabs hold of you and guides you just straight where he wants you to go. So my encouragement is think about, what is his love doing inside of my heart right now? What is his peace doing inside of my heart? What is his word doing inside of my heart? And the fourth thing I want you to see is simply this, and that is you have to choose daily to live for him. It can't be something that is now and then, maybe, should be, could have been. You have to choose daily. Say, Lord, I want you to speak to me, to live inside of me, to teach me to honor you as I live out what it is you called me to do and what you called me to be. And what you discover is what I learned as a kid in Bible school in California is the fact that Jesus is everything to a person who chooses to let him live inside of their heart. But you have to be willing to let him become your story. So let's think about this in light of how this particular text opens up to each one of us. So I want to show you four pathways that lead to blessing, okay? So you get on this journey of life and you start moving in a certain direction. And all of a sudden, you have four distinctive pathways, all of which lead you to something you could not get on your own. Verses 12 through 14, Colossians chapter 3. Look at the first pathway, because the first pathway has to do with positioning your heart to live in his love. Look at it as it unfolds there. So as those who have been chosen of God, verse 12, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has complained against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And notice what he says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Put on love. So what do? We learn how to do three very distinctive things. First of all, we learn how to capture into our own hearts and lives the beauty of living obediently, There's just something absolutely beautiful about a person choosing to live an obedient life. In other words, saying, I want God's way no matter what. I choose to obey, even if it's painful and difficult and challenging. I surrender to God what he wants to do inside of me because I want to see him work inside of me because I'm obedient. And it's interesting, by the way, what does disobedience do? Disobedience ultimately leads to dishonor because when a person is disobedient, they center their heart not in what God wants, but what they want. And what we want is totally different than what God wants for us. And so you learn how to capture this beauty because that's what he's describing here when he talks about, so you're chosen of God, so be holy and be loved. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Here's the question you got to ask. How can you have all those qualities? You have to be obedient because you can't let them just show up. You can't get up one day and say, you know what, today I'm just going to be this person who is compassionate and kind and humble, gentle, patient. I'm going to forgive everyone. I'm going to do it. No, it doesn't work that way. What you discover is that God wants to work in our lives as we choose to capture the beauty of this. All right? The second thing that you see is not only do you, if you're going to live a life where you position your heart in his love, to live inside of his love, the second thing you have to do is learn how to choose to forgive and release all. And because what does he say here in verse 13, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I want you to think about the significance of this, because here's what Paul gets across to Colossians. If you spend your life always trying to get back at everyone who caused you some difficulty, you're never going to be able to forgive and accomplish what God intended. And what he says here, you got to forgive every one of those different things. If someone says something to you the wrong way, someone says something to you unkindly, someone does something to you that is difficult. I was driving this weekend. I don't know if you ever watch when people have car wrecks, but it's interesting to watch the reaction. And I saw a three-car wreck this week, and I saw the aftermath, I should say, of it. And it's interesting because all three were in different modes of operation at that point. One was furious. One was telling the police officer it was all their fault. I want them all to go to jail. They all did the wrong thing. And the other person, was leaning against their truck thinking, I just messed up a great vehicle. And the third person was like, what just happened? And I sat there watching him thinking about what we're going to look at today. And it's interesting because sometimes somebody runs into us, not physically, but spiritually or some other way. And what happens? That wreck, sometimes we react, put them in jail. Which, by the way, just so you will know, you want to find the most prevalent jail in America? It's called unforgiveness. Because what happens is when we experience unforgiveness, we go into a prison cell, which, by the way, is solitary confinement. Because the very one that you think will someday pay a price, which, by the way, God will reckon all things perfectly if you'll let him. But the one person or whoever it is you think you might cause them difficulty, cause them pain, they are not even conscious of your pain. And so be careful not to go into that prison, because once you get in that prison, it's hard to get out. Because what happened? You sometimes throw the key away thinking, I'm going to live my whole life without understanding, experiencing what God has for me. So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Next, but third thing I want you to see real quick before we move off this forgiveness is for you to understand something. Because he goes on to say in verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What's he saying here? You should live to unify hearts in love. Because that's what, let me tell you what that does inside of the kingdom. When a person understands how much he loves them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When you start understanding that love and it starts unifying, then you get inside the body and you start bringing a bond of unity, of love between all those who are part of this fellowship. And one of the most amazing and beautiful things about who we are is that bond of love that takes backgrounds from all over the world and all over kind of different, all over our country, brings them into one heart and allows us to have this unity that comes from God. It's a beautiful picture of God's best for our lives. You just have to be wise enough to say, you know what? I am going to live in his love. That's the first pathway you get on. The second one, look at verse 15 if you would. The second pathway I want you to see. Because in verse 15, notice what he said. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And it's interesting because the word rule there has to do with what would happen if a person was an umpire watching other people run a race. All right? And what he says here is, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And what he's trying to get across to you and me is this. Choose to open your life to run with peace. To run with peace. And it's interesting. Our son has started doing more running, and he's running these fast paces and stuff like that. And yesterday he ran a 10K, and he sent a message to all the family, you know, about how that run was and everything. And I was sitting thinking, I mean, the whole time I was reading, I was thinking, I can't run that race. I can't even get my shoes on to run that race, but I can put my heart in the race to the peace of Christ. I can run that race. And notice what he says. You learn how to let this peace rule inside of you. Because when it rules in your heart, you're called into one body. And when his peace starts ruling in our hearts and lives, we learn how to live inside of his will. Because listen carefully. You can't have peace if you're not experiencing his will. And what is his will? It's his ordered steps for our journey. It's what he wants to accomplish inside of each one of us. And all of a sudden, we start living inside of his will. And imagine for a moment that you're sitting here and you start thinking, you know what? I have a race to run. And there's an umpire watching me, and the umpire is Jesus. And he's watching to see if my mind will be stayed on perfect peace because I'm staying it on him. He's watching to see if I'm choosing to live with the peace of God resting inside of my heart and life. He's watching all this. He's wanting to see us because he's the umpire watching the race. And what he says here is you learn how to live inside of his will. And all of a sudden his peace becomes dynamic and powerful and meaningful for your life. And it allows you to experience what he intends for you. But don't miss that though. But just one other thing to see. Because you'll notice the latter part of that verse. He adds this statement. Be thankful. Now, one of the things you got to ask yourself as you look at this. He keeps coming back to this thought. Be thankful. And if you read a lot of Paul's letters to the epistles that he wrote, he's coming back, you know, give thanks for this is the will of God. And here he brings this thought back, be thankful. So imagine it, his peace starts resting on you and you get more thankful every day. And I can say this to you, there is nothing more peaceful than knowing that in gratitude you express your great gratefulness to God that he's worked in your heart and life in a profound and significant way. And so, first of all, live inside of his will, but then choose gratitude daily. Choose to allow gratitude on a daily basis to govern your heart. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. When you get thankful, you get peaceful. When you get thankful, you get to experience life the way that he intended. So think about this. You have circumstances, your situation. You have work and you have family and you have issue. You have different things. Then all of a sudden, you just get thankful. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that friend. Thank you for your healing hand working in my situation I've got going on right now. Thank you for helping me be able to see what it is you want me to see. Thank you that you speak to my heart daily. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you have something for me. Now think about it for a second. You start thinking that way, what happens to you? You shift from ingratitude and a lack of peace to a life that is filled with peace, filled with his presence at work in your life. I want you to imagine for a moment. You're sitting in church and you start thinking about it for a second. Wait a minute now. So if I let his peace rule in my heart, and as it rules in my heart, all of a sudden something begins to happen inside of me, which by the way, it's interesting. That word rule, that's the only place in the Bible you find it, that it has to do with this whole idea of an umpire. And what he's trying to say to you and me is this, simply this. Don't miss the very one who has the ability to call the game. Because as good as you are, as good as you try to be, you're never any better. Watch this. You're never any better than your peace and gratitude that rests inside of you. Because if you're not at peace, what happened? You're in trouble. So first of all, you learn how to live inside of his love. Secondly, you let his peace rule in your life. It becomes the second pathway you get on. So imagine for a second. You wake up this morning, and the first thing you say is, God, I know you love me. And I choose to live inside that love. Then, as his love begins to rest on you, all of a sudden, you center your heart and say, Lord, you know what? I know you love me, but you love me so much, you give me a peace that passes understanding. It's with me no matter what. And watch this carefully. It doesn't matter if you have an ailment. Our ailments are going to come and go. Different pains are going to come our way. But what happens is his purpose, watch this, takes precedent over our pain, because all of a sudden we start saying, Lord, I'm going to be at peace no matter what it is I'm facing on this day. So the third thing you see, look if you would at verse 16. Notice what he says here, because in verse 16, he brings it even to a deeper point of reference. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. What is that third pathway? And it has to do with surrender. And we surrender our hearts and lives to the promises of God's word. You see, that's how someone can walk through the valley of shadow of death and fear no evil. That's how someone can rejoice in someone going home to be with Jesus, because they surrender themselves to the promises of God's word. And what he says here, let this word richly dwell within you. In other words, make it so powerful. And a few weeks ago, we were gone on a trip, Cindy and I, and Abby. We were in another country, another place, and we walked by this store, and we saw something, and it looked like a fantastic experience, and obviously it was food related. And so I said, we got to stop in here. We got to try one of these things. And they were called a Stroop waffle. Anybody ever had one? Let me say this. If you had one, you'd be bigger than me. I mean, they are unbelievable how contagious they are to your spirit and everything. So we walked in, and we ordered one of these things. And it's interesting. They come in small, medium, and large. Okay? So the first time I had one, it's just like small. Well, I'm just going to taste it. The next time, what size did I get? Oh, isn't that sweet? Thank you very much. The truth is, every time I walked by that store, it got bigger, because it was so rich. It was, and it was so fantastic. And as we experienced that, I started thinking about the richness of how God works inside of all of our lives through his word. Let me tell you something. There's nothing richer than his word. Nothing richer. Nothing more powerful. But you have to let his word live in your heart. Because what he's saying here, how do you get his word sometimes ingrained in your heart? You sing a song. You sing a song. It starts speaking to you. It's biblically connected and starts getting a hold of you. And as a result, you go, man, that song really gets to me. It speaks to my heart. And even this morning, I was playing some songs, and my wife had never heard the CD, and I just bought it because it was on sale, and I thought, I'm going to listen to this person and see what they sing. I mean, it's great Christian music, but it was. She said, they all sound the same. I said, they all sound the same, but they have different words. They're different words you hear, because the song is sung in a certain tone, and it comes to you a certain way, but beyond the song, there's the word that's there. So watch this. A song begins to speak to my heart. Like the song we sang today about the greatness of our God. I started thinking, when we started singing that song, I started thinking about great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I started thinking about different things that speak to my heart related to his word. And what I want you to see today is this. When you live inside of his word, and you let your heart live there, let me tell you, you don't get uptight about what somebody else thinks. You live for him. You don't surrender yourself to something less than who he is, because his word validates who you are. You just have to be wise and say, you know what? I'm going to live his word living inside of my life. That's the pathway that we have to get on. And not only should we live inside of his will, but there's another thing. I want you to see this, because this is what I love. I love about the Bible. Notice what it says here. With wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing what? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And here, what Paul says is you allow a song to rest in your heart. And I don't know if you're like me, but if I hear a song that resonates with me, which, by the way, it doesn't have to always be a Christian song. It can be any song that resonates with me. And it sticks with me. It sticks with me forever. So you start singing it, and you say, oh, man, a song's still with me. And here's what you discover. Certain songs just stick in your heart. Am I right, Chester? I mean, they just stick, don't they? I mean, if I start talking to Marilyn, you're going to think of a song, aren't you? Stand up and sing one real quick. Let's just do it. Just sing something. Stand right there. Just one. I ain't got time. Cross, my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. That's good. By the way, he's the only one I'd pick on to do that because he worked for me. I could get away with it. But, The reality is, I mean, all of us have songs that they become a part of who we are. They become something that's very significant about our journey of faith. And so I want to challenge you to think about this. When his word starts dwelling in you and his song starts coming out of your heart, you have a joyful noise you make to God. And it's beautiful because he says, whatever song, whatever psalm, whatever joyful noise, let it be something that honors him. A final thing I want you to see as we wrap this together. Because when you get on down into the last verse of this text, or last verse connected to what I'm talking about today, whatever, verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's interesting because here's what Paul summarizes his thoughts on. Bear his name as your personal identity. In other words, don't let your identity rest in something else or someone. Let it rest in him. Because what happens is you have your personal identity. And that identity distinguishes you from any other person on earth. Can you imagine that every fingerprint we have is different? Every composition of us is different. And I don't know if you saw this, but on a show this week called America's Got Talent, they had a kid on there that was born with Down syndrome and born blind, who was one of 25 people in the world that could hear any song, remember every part of the song and every note of the music, and could do it perfectly at that point. Only 25 people in the world can do this. And this kid, blind with Downs, gifted in such a profound way to be able to use that, what he had been entrusted to him by God. And as I was watching and seeing all the accolades connected to this kid, if a person on the outside was looking at them, they would say that kid has no chance. But for a kid who inside hears a song and lets it resonate with who they are, and all of a sudden their identity is connected, whatever song it is that they're singing, it's staggering to see that. But here's what I want you to get a hold of. When we bear Jesus as our identity, it's not just 25 people who have a perfect connection point to who he is. He does a perfect work in us because his sufficiency allows us to experience life the way he intended. When you bear his name as your identity, people can say, you know what? It's Christ in you that becomes that hope of glory for your life. And so all of a sudden you start learning how to bear his name, and here's what happened. You remember two things very important. Number one, what you do and say matters. What you do and say, he says, in word or deed, what you do and say matters. And he ends with this thought: giving thanks through him. So look at verse 15. Be thankful. Look at verse 16. With thankfulness. Look at verse 17. Giving thanks. And it's interesting because how grateful you are determines your impact. How grateful you are determines the impact you have in life. So will you be a blessing to someone in some way? The choice is yours. You just have to be willing to get on these four pathways. And watch this. Let his love, let his peace, let his word, let his identity rest in your life. and it will bless you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing word that speaks to our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being in your house, in this house today, to speak to every life, to speak to every person. And Lord, what an encouraging day it is. I think about all that you're doing in each one of our lives. You allow us to experience and encounter you and live it in beautiful ways. You remind us of how good you are by experiencing your love. You remind us of how amazing you are because we experience your peace. You remind us of how absolutely perfect you are by giving us your word. And you remind us, Lord, of how much grace becomes a part of our story because you give us an identity at rest in you. Lord, bless us as we encounter and speak to you this very day in our hearts and lives. May we respond to you in the same way the word is spoken to us. We trust you to do this in Christ's name. Amen.